peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Sunday will be taken from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, and we'll be reading what's often referred to as the prologue, which is the first 18 verses. John chapter 1, and we'll begin reading from verse 1. So again, that's the Gospel of John, the first chapter, and we'll read from the first verse. And we'll read as follows then, in the name of our Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. And we do pray, Father, that indeed you would shine your light forth this morning. We enjoy the light of your Son. And Father, we ask again this morning that you would bask us in that glow. Sanctify us in the truth. For your word is indeed truth. For Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. The prologue of John actually is set up in quite a marvelous way, because if you're familiar with the Gospel of John, what you will see as you read through this prologue is kind of like introductions, as it were, to the rest of the Gospel letter or the rest of the Gospel record, where you'll continue to kind of work or use these themes all the way through his Gospel, bringing it forth in a marvelous way to show the people that he's writing onto the works of Jesus Christ. Now, the Gospel of John is very often referred to as well as an evangelistic type tract, and I probably have told you that before in preaching from the Gospel of John. It's written in such a way that when you hear the words spoken onto you, you're supposed to get kind of like the aha moment, where you see this the message being laid out in such a way of what Jesus has now done, and then John kind of leaves you with this question. Now, this is the Son of God, or this is what he did. Now, do you believe on him? He starts off in a marvelous way, though, in our text this morning, by simply stating for us who Jesus is. And he uses a term called logos, which is just a term that means word. Jesus is the logos. He is the word of God. And it's kind of fascinating, really, when you begin to like examine this or think about this in light of his coming into the world. Because all along through the Old Testament scriptures, there was this promise coming from God through the prophets that he would be sending a deliverer, one who would come and rescue his people from their sin and from their darkness. And so he uses that motif or that teaching as well. He uses the teaching of light. He uses the teaching of the Word and also the teaching of light. Now, we're very familiar, I believe, in the church today of what the Word is. The Word we often refer to as the written Word. This is the Word. The Word is the Bible from which we read, from which you hear sermons preached on, and so on. But actually, what John is calling us to is something different, because he's telling us the Word is actually none other than Jesus the Christ. And he says the Word was present with God at the very beginning. At the very beginning of time, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John is actually quite plain here as he brings this forth. There's nothing really magical about this in the sense that we got to have our little secret decoder ring or something like that in order to decipher exactly what he's saying here. He just spells it out in clear, plain truths, clear language, so to speak. This is the way it is. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. And the Word was also with God. Now, I don't intend to give you a sermon this morning on the Trinity or on the triune Godhead. It's almost, I don't want to say impossible, but close to impossible to ever explain that for an audience, how all of that works, how there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We simply take the testimony of the Word, and we believe this message. We believe the Word. This is what John is saying. Look, I'm beginning. This is actually, quite honestly, a Christmas text, which is okay, I guess, because we're only 2 days removed from Christmas. But here he says, this is what happened on Christmas Day. The Word took on flesh. The Word of God took on flesh. And there's no greater miracle in all of the history of the world when God Himself becomes a man. When God takes on flesh, as we have already remembered on Christmas morning in our Christmas service, Him becoming a child for us. But now we see within this text really the majesty of God being revealed. And he says it again in the second verse. In the beginning, the same was in the beginning with God. You see, he's really trying to drive home a point here for his listeners, for the ones who are the reader and hearers of this text. Can you imagine, almost, is what is being said here? This is what is taking place. We can go back to the beginning of the Bible, and we can look there, we can see in the beginning God, in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God. We get to the Gospel of John, and this is what John is basically telling us. In the beginning was God. But now let me explain for you what exactly God has now done for you, which makes actually John 3:16 so powerful. God has now come. He who was the Word, He was the one who spoke the Word into existence, spoke the worlds, as it were, into existence, has now come in the flesh. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. in him was life. And the life was the light of men. You see, this is what he's explaining for you and I this morning. This is our Creator. Our Creator takes on flesh. He becomes like the ones he created in order to bring them out of their darkness. You see, because this is the problem with humanity, is it not? The problem with humanity is a fallen race of people. And this all began, as you're familiar with, in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve fell into sin and thus plummeted the whole entire human race into the realm of darkness, where death now becomes a reality, as it were, for the human being. And all of this because of sin. And so people are groping around, as it were, in the darkness, trying to find their way. And God now comes in the flesh in order to shine light into the people so that they are able now to see God for who he is and able to see, as it were, their own salvation. He comes to bring them life. But not just any kind of life, but a life that is abundant, John chapter 10. And it's abundant because it's eternal life. You see, I can think of no better way to end the year of 2015 than to just stop for a moment this morning and to ponder on this. To think of such a marvelous work that was done on our behalf as the human beings who inhabit this world, that God would come and become a human in order to save his creation. It's really quite simple. It doesn't take a lot of dogma, teaching. If you're not familiar with dogma, it's a simple message about a person. And whether I was to preach to you this morning from Matthew or from Mark or from Luke or John, I'm preaching from, or from Acts, Romans, the letters to the Corinthians, all the way through this marvelous New Testament, this is what we see over and over and over and over again. We see this person whose name is Jesus. And he's named that because he has come to rescue his people, as it were, from the darkness of their sin, to shine his marvelous and glorious light of the gospel into their hearts, to reveal for them who they are, but also who God is and what he has now done for them. This is the work of the Word. The Word, as it comes into this world, carries out a marvelous, transcending, transforming work, because it enters into the hearts of people and it changes them. Because the light reveals all of the darkness. And the darkness is not able to comprehend, is how the King James translates it, but also it can be translated, the darkness cannot overcome it. You take a flashlight, you shine it into a dark room, it's not like the darkness jumps in there and engulfs the light and makes it disappear. It's unable to do so. This is the work of your God. When he flipped his light on, so to speak, in this world, that light was never, ever to be darkened and never will be. Because it's an eternal light that shines forth across the whole span of history.
And it's a light that'll never be vanquished by the darkness. The darkness has a hard time comprehending it, but it can never, never overcome it. Because it's God who has entered into his creation. It is God who has sent forth his Son into this world to shine the glorious light of his gospel into the hearts of people everywhere. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness flees away. It has no place. You see, sometimes the light is rather offensive. Good illustration of this is, you know, I take my grandson out of his dark room as he lives with us, and you come walking into the kitchen where everything is bright, and he's just like, ugh. He just doesn't like it. It's too bright. And very often, this is what takes place with the Word of God, with the light of the world. And this is what John talks about as well within this gospel. As the light shines forth into people's lives, people don't always like it. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's hard to take. Sometimes it's hard to believe that, yeah, actually, I am that bad. I actually need someone to clean me up. I'm not just getting by or good enough. That's not going to work. No. Christ comes to shine his light into the world to reveal just how bad I really am, but not just to leave me floundering there in the darkness, but actually to pick me up and rescue me out of that darkness. To shine his glorious light into my heart. To join himself unto me. There was a man, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on John the Baptist, because, as you know, we've talked about him quite often throughout this month. There was a man sent from God whose name was John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Again, John just simply is the one who points to the Son of God, and you can see this played out later on in the first chapter. Whereas when Jesus enters into the area where John is doing his ministry, John just simply blurts out. He can't even help himself. He says, "There he is. Behold, the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's what John the Baptist did. John the Baptist later on will say that, "I am not the one. I am not the light, but I have come to point to the one who is the light." There was a man sent from God. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but it was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This is the only light that enlightens men. And this light is for all people. It's for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him shall never perish. Never. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. See, this is where he really explains this for us. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Notice what he says here, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The marvelous grace of our God is beyond comprehension. That God would send his Son to do such a marvelous work, where he would come into the world and he would shine his light, the light of the gospel, out into this world and receive sinners unto himself. All those who would believe the message of the gospel would be saved. He gives them the power to become the sons of God. You see, this is the marvelous message of the light of Christmas. The light of Christmas now brings to you and I the most marvelous of gifts, because it brings to us citizenship or sonship, which includes all of you women, by the way, into the realms or the family of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Later on, John will write in his letters, in his epistles, and say, what a marvelous thing it is, and I'm quoting here, that we are the children or the sons of God, and we are. Well, how? How are we the sons of God? Because we believe. We believe this message. Because the glorious light of the gospel message of Jesus Christ has shined into our own hearts. And we've been born again. Which is again pointing forward to John 3. We were born not of blood. It's not according to our blood, our genetics, or the will, our own will, but simply of God. What a message. The light shines into the darkness. The darkness is not able to overcome it. And the people who receive it become the sons of God. His own people, the Jewish people, rejected him, but not all of them. Because his own disciples were Jewish and so on. We won't really go down that road too much this morning. But to simply give you this clear teaching, this message of the word that tells us that those who believe on this one, as we read in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It never ceases to amaze me that in the Christ child dwells the glory of God. And later on, when Paul writes to the Colossians, this is what he will say: it's in Jesus the Christ that dwells the Godhead bodily. Why did God come into the world and become flesh? So that he could reveal his glory unto us. If he would have came in the full power of his Godhead, we would have simply all been dead, because we never could have stood up to that. But he comes in the flesh in order to reveal unto us who he is and to bring unto us salvation. The Word was made flesh, my friends. Don't forget the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh. That's the most marvelous news that you will ever hear. And there's a lot of good news that comes into our lives. But this news transcends every other thing that you will ever hear about or receive in your life. that the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. God comes and hangs out, as it were, with His people and indwells them now by the power of His Holy Spirit, shining the light of His Word into their lives. And John bear witness of this. John says, "This is He of whom I spake." Here He is. He is He that He comes after me, yes, in chronological order, but He's actually before me. John recognizes God. And the Word brings to us this same message. Now here I'm talking about the Word of the pages of this book. It brings to us the message of the Word of life. It brings to us the message of Jesus the Christ, who now indwells His church bodily. He is present with us today. And He guides us and leads us each and every moment of our lives, helping us then to go out into this world and intersect other people's lives with the same glorious light of the gospel. John says, "And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Such an amazing, I don't even know how to put it into words, to be quite honest with you. We have received the fullness of this one. In Paul's letters, when Paul writes his letters to us, and he writes about all of these things, and he writes a lot of instruction in his Word, he always brings us to a point that we need to be found in Christ first. It is in Christ now that we find our identity. This is actually what identifies us, which is why Paul will say the light actually brings you to the end of yourself. It brings you to death. But it raises you from that place and brings you into the glorious light and into life itself. And this is grace. This is marvelous grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace upon grace. Because that's what we need, do we not? As we end this new year, and as we hurtle into the coming year, we need grace. We need the grace of God to rain down on us continually. Not just once in a while when we feel like we're big sinners. No, all the time we need the grace of God to sprinkle us, to shine down on us, to fall on us. And we need the light. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Son, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. He hath made Him known. He shows you who your God is. Your God is a God who loves you. For God so loved the world. What did He do for you? He went to the cross. And He died the death that was rightfully yours, taking all of your sin upon Himself, shedding His blood to the last drop, paying the payment in full, and offering to you His grace. And now we, as the children of God, go out and shine the light. And our weapon is the Word of God. There's a great story that illustrates this point, told to me by a pastor friend of mine. He said that he's ministering. He ministers in a church in the Midwest. I'll just leave it at that. And he has a family in his church whose brother was an atheist. And this brother who was an atheist, came down with brain cancer. And he was in the hospital with brain cancer. And this family called up this pastor and they asked him if he would go and visit with him. And so he did. He went to his hospital room there and visited with him periodically for a while during his treatments. And he said one day he was actually going to a nursing home to visit with some people there. And he seen this same man, this man who proclaimed to be an atheist, sitting on a bench in kind of like a little park setting there at the nursing home. And he recognized him. He didn't know he had been moved there, but he had been moved there basically to live out the rest of his life. The cancer was terminal. And so he had the opportunity to sit down after he visited with the other parishioner, to sit down with this man and visit some more. And the man was sitting there on this bench there, and he was looking around at all of the things that were within that garden, the trees and the flowers and all of these various things. And he was like, and he was marveling over light. He was telling this pastor, he said, "This light is amazing. Without light, I couldn't see any of this. If there was no light shining from the sun, the natural sun, well, I couldn't see any of this marvelous beauty that's in front of me." And so the pastor then had the opportunity to open up John 1 and to preach to him about the light of the world. So he spoke to him about the light of the world, the one who comes to light in not just natural beauty, but to actually bring us salvation. And he said later on, there was no repentance or anything at that point, but later on he was actually away. Him and his family were gone down several miles from home, several hours from home. It was his weekend off. And he got a call from that family that this man was in a coma. This man who was a proclaimed atheist was in a coma. The same man who he actually said he had many conversations about light with him and about Jesus being the light of the world. And so being a long ways from home, he said, "Well, I'll get there as soon as I can." And he said, "I got there about 1 a.m. and I walked into this man's room and he was laying there and he hadn't spoken to his family for several hours, perhaps. And he said, I walked up to his bedside, and I'll just use a generic name. He says, "Bob, would you like to hear your sins forgiven?" And this man who was in a coma, who hadn't spoken to his family for several hours, raised both hands up to the pastor. The light of the world had shined into his heart. This is the effect of the gospel, my friends. It is a message that transcends anything that we can ever imagine. When a man who is a proclaimed atheist suddenly realizes of his own need of this light to take away his sin, and to bring him, as it were, into the realms of heaven. That man never did come out of that coma. He passed on. But the message of the gospel was declared to him that night. And not only that night, but as many times as that pastor visited with him. Because that's what we have. You as the church, it's not just us pastors. You as the church, when you go forth from this place, you carry the light of the world in your bosom because you know this man whose name was Jesus, who became flesh for us, who was in the beginning, who created everything, but yet became flesh so that you and I could live. Praise be to God for his glorious light. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. We thank you, Father, that even as we read and study your word, you continue to show us of yourself. So even this day we ask, Father, that you would empower us as your people to go forth into this world and to bring forth the message of the gospel. That people, upon hearing this message, would be transformed, their lives would be changed, and they would follow you. Oh, Father, help us as we even end this year, and as we look forward to another year. We know, Father, that nothing will really change. You remain the same. And though our lives have many changes and many things that come up, nevertheless, Father, you do. You never change. And so give us the message again today. Reveal your glorious light unto us. Bring your salvation into many hearts. And cause, Father, that even as we leave from this place, we would rejoice in your Son, the one who has brought light into our own lives. For we ask it for the sake of his name. And now, Lord, bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.